Bad Eye Bears fans, another edition of the Chicago Bears podcast coming your way. Pat the Designer, Shay Norling in the building. Are you okay, my friend?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Michigan State taking the L. That's...
First of all, if we discuss this, we're going to get 50 comments saying, get to the football. Clown.
I do love it. Those are always in the comments.
God forbid anybody have a good time taping a podcast in the year of our Lord 2025. Jesus. Oh, here's the timestamp when these fucksticks actually start talking football. Here's an idea. Don't listen. If you hate it that much, I don't know what to tell you. I'm doing fine. No. I'm doing good.
Are you okay?
Yeah, dude. I don't care. They were preseason unranked. They were picked fifth in the Big Ten.
Yeah.
They went out against one of the eight best KenPom teams ever.
Yeah.
Like, am I disappointed that Izzo saved his worst coaching performance of the year for bad. That moment?
That was more so the question I was going to say.
Like, yeah, of course I am. But you can't shoot 6 of 50 from 3, whatever the fuck it ended up being. And expect to win a game against Auburn. So, whatever. It is what it is. It was a good, successful season. They won the Big Ten. They got a 2 seed in the tournament. I'm good with it.
Yeah.
This was as far as they could have feasibly gone. Like I said pre-tournament, I want a Final Four. I want a national championship. But if they get to the Elite Eight, I will not be unhappy.
Yeah.
As long as it's Auburn who's waiting for you and you lose to Auburn, I will not be unhappy.
Only thing I like when I watched the game, it was a lot of like, I haven't seen Tom Izzo coach this bad. Maybe ever.
Whatever. I mean,
it's been a long time. Like that was a tough performance. That was a tough team you were going out against.
He's an old school guy. Yeah. He's not going to rip timeouts to end runs, even though he should. He didn't have his best 5 on the floor, and Auburn went on a 17-0 run. You got to call timeout. Like it's 9-0. You got to stop it from getting the double digits. You got to get your best 5 on the floor. He's an old school guy. It's the way he's going to coach. And he achieved more than I thought he was capable of at this point in his career. So I'm all good, man. They're going to bring back a good team next year. We'll do it again.
Yeah. Hey, listen.
Next year, the expectation is going to be a little different, though. Next year, if Tom's sticking around, it's Final Four or bust, brother.
You got to go big. You got to go big here. And Illinois will be waiting there for you, buddy.
Okay,
you
let's move
you
on.
Watch yourself. Oh, now it's time to move on. Illinois will rise again.
I don't want to be disrespectful.
Did you say that?
There's another team in the Big Ten that begins with an I that I think will be incredibly dangerous, despite having a zero-man roster at this moment in time. But getting Darian DeVries and his kid, Tucker DeVries, and you fill out the rest with the portal, there's going to be some interest from some good players. I think Indiana could be dangerous.
I think college.
Andy Stripes are back.
College is about to be a dangerous game in general. I think there's going to have to be some massive changes coming with how they've got the NIL and the portal going here, because I almost think you're going to have to give out contracts, dog. Like, you're not going to be able to keep people.
That's the way it's going.
You're not going to be able to keep people on teams. We do want to let you guys know the Chicago Bears podcast is brought to you by the Advantage Dealer Group. Find your next Chevy, Toyota, or Acura. Drive off in under 60 minutes, or they'll make your first car payment free. It's also brought to you by the Hard Rock Casino in Northern Indiana, located 30 minutes from Soldier Field, I-80-94. All right. Let's talk a little Chicago Bears football. Timestamp here. You guys happy now? Here we go. There we go.
The podcast Bears, starts now.
Podcast starts now. The Bears have one big question that I think is looming at the safety position. And his name right now is Jaquan Brisker. Brisker has been a phenomenal player. I love what he brings to the team. I think that he is more a part of this defense than many people think, because literally right after he went out, the wheels just completely fell off of this defense.
Yeah.
I think that he is a very important piece for this team. The big question right now is he going to be healthy enough with the concussion issues, with some of the other things he's dealt with? I think he had a broken hand at one point as well, for him to actually be on the field. And this is because he's all in. He says he's coming back better than ever. We saw an Instagram post from him where he was, big shout out to my supporters, big shout out to the fans, big shout out to everybody who's rocked with me. I'm coming back better than ever. And I do believe talent-wise, he can come back better than ever. My biggest question is injury-wise, will he be able to stay on the field And will the Bears have to look to replace him at safety because of that?
Two words for you, buddy. Andrew Mukuba. Pop a little tape on for the uninitiated. Watch a little Clemson football. Watch a little Texas football. And check out Andrew Mukuba. Come down box. He can rush. He's got incredible ball skills. He's great in coverage. Third round projection. We'll see where he ends up actually going. If I'm the Bears, that's a selection I want to make. And this is not out of disrespect for Jaquan Brisker. It's just me facing a reality that this dude's had, what, four diagnosed concussions plus a fifth that people believed there was at Penn State. There comes a point, man, and people can call me soft or whatever you want to do. I don't care. It's me personally. The thing with Tua, with guys like Brisker especially, who plays, he's a dog. Nothing about the player. He's awesome. He's high energy. He's high effort on every play. He's physical. He's a heavy hitter. And he hurts himself. And when it's this many concussions and this much with the brain, there comes a point for me where it's almost a concern watching him play. We're like, is this next hit the hit?
Yeah.
And you never know. And football's a violent game, and he's signing up for it. It's pretty much a gladiator sport. It is what it is. No, I don't think anybody should tell him to, like, play with a leash. I don't think anybody should change the way that he plays football. Keep being a physical safety. Keep being a box guy. Keep rushing passers. Keep making impactful plays and hitting people hard. But the reality is that can result in your career ending.
Yeah.
And if I'm the Bears and I'm talking strictly about asset use and preparing myself for the future, I would take a guy like Andrew Mukuba as Jaquan Brisker insurance. 100%. Again, it's got nothing to do with who he is as a player, who he is as a person. He's awesome.
Yeah.
But I am not at a point where I can rely on him to play 17 games.
See, I like that, though, because I like how you said it, as Jaquan Brisker insurance. Jaquan Brisker, to me, I think that he is more in this defense than most people give him credit for. Like I just said, the Bears defense seemed to, not that it fell off a cliff. I mean, you still only have, two games allowing more than like 21 points in a game. Like there still wasn't a ton of like the doors were getting blown off of you, but the run defense fell completely off a mountain when Jaquan Brisker wasn't in there, whether that's him being in run support or whatever it is. I think that the passing defense, like, all of a sudden, it seemed like everybody and their mom was open. That probably leads more to the conversation of not having enough pass rush up front, and I think that's a big part of it.
There were times where Brisker he was the best pass rusher on the team.
And that's what I was going to say. Like, he can be a part of that pass rush. That was a weapon you didn't have. I don't think that – and there's some people that will say you just sweep it under the rug, you move on, you can't pay him – I think Jaquan Brisker is like a massive part of this defense that if he's not out there, especially in those end of the year moments where it looked like the heart was ripped out of this defense, I do think the heart is gone. I would almost call him I know he's at the safety position, but remember like when Akeem Hicks would go out and it just seemed like the Bears defense didn't have the heart anymore. Like that's what it felt like after Jaquan Brisker was hurt.
Well, the other concern I would have too, and I don't think you're wrong, he was the heartbeat of the defense, I think, last year. And I think we all knew that.
Yeah.
The part I worry about is if you do things appropriately in the draft in this offseason and you've kind of rebuilt and retooled your pass rush a little bit, and if you have success with that, because Brisker being one of the best pass rushers on the team is good. It's not a way I want to live.
Yes.
I don't want to have to blitz that often that a safety is my top rusher. I want to be able to generate pressure with four. I want to be able to blitz with five and use a linebacker and not always somebody out of the secondary.
Yeah.
The safety blitz, the corner blitz, like it's great that you have guys who are good at it, Kyler Gordon and Brisker, but I don't want that to be a high usage defensive play. So if you fix your defensive line and you're getting more pressures and Brisker is asked to be a cover safety more, is he as valuable? Because coverage is the one hole in his game where he's fine. He's not a great cover safety.
Yeah.
He's a box guy. That's where if I'm thinking that I'm going to have to use Brisker primarily in coverage, then I am significantly lessening his value.
I think he's good enough in coverage, and I would agree, if you make him just the cover safety, it is not accentuating his game. I don't think that Dennis Allen would do that.
I don't either.
I think that he would use him in a multitude of ways still in this defense.
You can decoy him. You can play him almost like you could make him a de facto linebacker and play him like Nick Bolton with the Chiefs.
Yeah, essentially. You really could. Like I think that he's got that talent that you can find value for him. The only concern for me with Jaquan Brisker is the injury. And I agree with you. Listen, there comes a point where, like, even with Roschon Johnson, I want Roschon to be good. I my whole thing last year was like, I don't know why we're going to get a running back. You drafted one. Give him the football. See what he can do when he runs up the middle. Oh, my God, you gave him the football for him to run up the middle. And, my God, he moves the pile. It's crazy that the gap skiing runner can do that. But there comes a point where the concussions start to build up so much where you go, all right, like – this is a section of these guys' lives, and right now it's the most important section for them. There's going to be hopefully 50, 60, 70 years after this where are you going to be okay? And that is a concern right now for me with Jaquan Brisker. I think that's one of the major concerns. Is he going to be okay in life after football? I know we don't talk about it as much with safeties and defensive guys like that, but to me it is the Tua conversation. Like, he did and last season, he did everything right on the play he got concussed on. And I think we all knew when it happened he was concussed.
Yeah.
His head was up, head to the side, trying to make the right tackle. I forget who the tight end was that he was going up against, but he lowered the boom, and he led with the crown, and he hit him in the helmet.
It was Evan Engram, wasn't it?
Was it Evan Engram last?
Was it against Carolina?
I thought it was the Patriots game. I can't even remember which game he had.
I think he was out by then.
Was he out in the Patriots game already? But either way, there's sometimes football is just football. It was Carolina.
Yeah.
So that is.
Maybe the Jacksonville game was the first game he missed, and that's why I was thinking about it.
Yes,
that was London.
Yes, you're right. He didn't go to London. He didn't travel to London. But my point being, and J-Mac said this, I thought it was a bar, football doesn't care. You can do everything right. You can technically go in perfectly, and football doesn't care. Some way, somehow, you can get hit in the helmet, and that is my concern with Jaquan Brisker. I like you saying insurance, though, because I don't think if you're the Bears, you can afford to just, we're done with Brisker. We're not going to pay him. We're going to move on from him.
But here's the other thing. He's a second-round pick. He's not a first-round pick.
Yeah.
And that means the clock opens at the end of this season.
Yep.
Next offseason is your decision point. Where are you giving him an extension and a second contract, or are we going in a different direction? That part of it leads me, like, taking the human side of it out, which is incredibly important, and wanting Jaquan Brisker to be okay. It's also, is this a guy I feel like I can give a second contract? He's not a quarterback. Tua was always getting a second contract. He's a quarterback. And despite what people say, he's a pretty good quarterback.
I don't get the Tua hate. Is it because he's left-handed and it just doesn't look as sexy? Like, he puts up numbers, he scores touchdowns, he wins games.
He's got playoff eggs that he's laid. I mean, the Kansas City game, and it was negative 30. I think he's not super aesthetically pleasing. He misses a lot of throws. He's got a weak arm. Underthrows Tyreek Hill a ton. So I think people kind of over-exaggerate it. But the reality is, look at the Dolphins' record with Tua. Look at the Dolphins' record without Tua. And then come back to me and tell me he's not good. Like, he's not great. He's not elite. He's fine. He was always getting a second contract because he's a quarterback. It's the same reason when you look at mock drafts and you see Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders, two guys who would not have sniffed going ahead of any of the six quarterbacks taken in the first round last year, going 1 and 2 in this draft. It's because they're quarterbacks. It's it. So Tua was always getting a second deal. Safety? I got a tough time. If I have injury concerns on a safety, giving a second contract becomes incredibly risky. Like, if think about it like this, if you're a Bears fan, if you're one of the people who said we can't give Tevin Jenkins a contract extension because he's not reliable and we aren't sure he's going to be on the field and he's a left guard, which is a more replaceable position, apply that to Jaquan Brisker. And I don't like saying it because I like Jaquan Brisker a lot. I liked him at Penn State. I love him as a Bear, but I don't know if he's reliable.
Yeah.
I want to trust him. I hope that he is. Ultimately, what I'm rooting for is Jaquan Brisker to play 17 games and show himself as one of the better box safeties in the league.
Yeah.
That's it. That's what I want to happen. I hope that he gets a second contract. I hope it's in Chicago. I'm hesitant about how good it will be because Landon Collins. But I want it to happen. I just, if I'm running the team, I got to get my insurance policy ready.
Well, and I think the thing too, right, like you talk about extending guys, and there's going to come a point where your favorite Bear is not going to be on the team because you're investing in other positions. I love Jaquan. I want to see him on the team. But if it means that I'm giving money to someone who is banged up and stuff like that, and I could have paid somebody to be on the offensive line, or I could have gone out and signed another edge rusher, like, I think those are where that question mark gets even bigger, especially heading into next season, where some of the money is going to get bigger on the guys that you signed here. Grady Jarrett, I believe, gets most of his money next season on his part of the contract. How is that going to change? Now, the salary cap's going to go up, and there's going to be more money to go around. That'll be the difference there.
And I think there's ways that some of the contracts for the incoming guys are set up where there are outs.
Oh,
and
it's perfect.
Poles has set himself up in a way they could have $90 million in cap space again next year. But you can't do that forever.
Yeah.
Like, it's not always going to be that way. And if it comes to a point of we have to make a decision on Jaquan Brisker and the person that you're holding up against him to make a decision is Kyler Gordon, I'm sorry, that's a very easy decision for me right now. It's Kyler Gordon. I'm not losing my ability to sign Kyler Gordon because I have to sign Jaquan Brisker.
Yeah.
Or I'm not losing my, like, it down the road, but if you sign Brisker now, how much does it handicap you in a Roma Dunze contract down the road? How much does it, if you want to bring Montez Sweat back, which I do not endorse at this moment, but I'm just making the point, you're going to have to pay guys, and the window is closing on when that's going to happen. It'll be here quicker than you think.
Yeah.
There are going to be decisions made on players that you like. Shout out Cole Kmet. I know Bears fans love him. If you got to make a decision on Cole Kmet and it's inhibiting paying other guys, bye.
Yeah.
That's it.
Cole to me, I think, is the bigger story with Cole is what's the relationship with him and Caleb? Like, that's what it comes down to me. Like, don't get mad at me for saying the Bears may end up moving on from Cole Kmet. Get mad at your quarterback for not throwing the football to Cole Kmet.
Get mad at Shane Waldron and Thomas Brown for scheming him out of the offense. Get mad at Keenan Allen for coming in and being a target machine.
Yeah.
Like, this is the reality of the sport, is fans get swept up and they fall in love with players. And I'm not blaming anybody. I do the same thing.
We all do that.
But it's a business. And you got to make decisions on guys, and you might love them, but they might just not make the cut.
Yeah.
And Brisker, unfortunately, might be one of those guys, despite being one of my favorite players on this team.
And listen, good teams have good – we have Joe Tooney because a good team had to make a decision on paying another player. It's the only reason Joe Tooney is on the Chicago Bears right now.
I kept saying, do you think the Falcons were happy to let Drew Dalman go?
No,
they're beating themselves up over paying Kirk Cousins a bunch of money that ate up their cap.
And not moving on from him. I guess like...
So they're buying a draft pick by doing it.
That's true.
He was never going to get traded.
Expensive draft pick.
Yeah, it is. But, I mean, think about it this way. Not to make this the Falcons podcast, but if you're running the Falcons and it's, we're going to pay $27 million to cut him.
Yeah.
There's no way out of it.
This is on our dead cap. Yeah.
And we get nothing out of this. Or we pay him an extra $10 million and we'll be able to buy a pick. You at least get a pick.
Yeah.
And when you're that strapped over the cap, what's the difference between $10 million?
Yeah, hopefully the pick ends up turning into a future superstar.
It won't. It's going to be like a fourth or a fifth. But
hey, before we keep this thing moving along, man, we do want to let you guys know the Chicago Bears podcast, also brought to you by Mitch Lyons Wealth. Mitch Lyons is a former NFL player. He's the expert in protecting your nest egg and optimizing your income. Go to Mitch Lyons, L-Y-O-N-S, wealth.com, MitchLyonsWealth.com, your best game plan to protect, grow, and win retirement. All right, before we move on, Shay, chance that Jaquan Brisker gets that second contract, percentage-wise, where you're at right now.
20.
Oh, you're at the bottom.
If you're at, like, gets a second contract in the league?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, no, not in the league, just with the Bears. Just
20%.
You think this is probably his last year with the Bears then?
But that's, no, because I think he could play the fourth year, I guess. I mean, it'll be fascinating to see how that plays out. No, I think there's about a 20% chance he's healthy this year. And if he's not healthy this year, then you're not getting a second, you're not getting extended.
Yeah.
Then you're going to have to really show out in year four. And at that, like, that's the Tevin Jenkins path.
Yeah.
Where you're in your final year and you, it's really the pressure cooker now. You got to show us. And if it's not 17 games of elite play, it ain't happening.
Hope you ball out, my guy. I love you. I want you here.
Again,
everyone wants you here. Shea wants you.
I want him to be good. I want him to get a second contract.
The injury concerns are valid, though. They're very valid. Let's keep this thing moving along. We got a possible shakeup here in the top 10, although you don't believe so based on today's mock draft. But I think a lot of mock drafts out there have Tet McMillan as a top 10 pick. I've seen him mock to the Patriots in a couple of different mock drafts. I've seen him to Carolina in a couple of different mock drafts. Tet McMillan might have just cost himself some money, though, with recent comments that he made about basically, I don't need to watch tape. I've never watched tape outside of watching tape with the team. I never do it when I'm by myself. I don't need to. I'm that good. And while I love, you know, the confidence, I think most NFL teams will look at that and go, we've been down. I've seen how the I don't watch tape path goes in the NFL. Mm-hmm. Kyler Murray, they had to literally put it into his clause. You the most famous one, I guess, is Jamarcus Russell. Both quarterbacks, different conversation. Do you think that the Tet McMillan comments will shake up the top 10 of this draft?
To be honest with you, I don't know if he was going to be a top 10 pick anyway. I told you before we started taping, I did my mock draft on Cap and Jay Hood today. I didn't have Tet McMillan in the top 10 for the first time that I've been doing this. I didn't have him in the top 10. And it wasn't anything to do with Tet McMillan. It was just, I think there might be a run on big people.
I agree with that.
I think that you get two quarterbacks off the board early. I think there's a chance the Giants and the Patriots both pass on Abdul Carter, which means the Jags take Abdul Carter. And then you just keep going down the board, and it might be a lot of just big people. Raiders could go tackle. Raiders could also go Ashton Jeanty.
Yeah.
But Jets, I think, could go tight end. They could also go Tet McMillan. Like, there's spots where he could get taken. If you're asking me if I think the film thing's going to have any impact, no, I don't. I don't think anybody's going to care.
Really?
It's not like he said he's never watched tape.
Well, he said he only watches it with the team. He's like, we review it with the team.
Yeah, that's fine for me. For a receiver, good with it.
I had a chance to listen in to Unc and Ocho this morning, and they were talking about it. And even Chad was like, if you want to be good, you might be able to get away with it. And maybe he is. Maybe he's this astounding athlete. But to be great, there's no way you can watch. You can't watch film on your own and go out there and be great. And I do think that like hearing that from one of the best receivers of his generation, like, yeah. I do think that that holds true. I want to say there was somebody who was like, I never watched it. I think it was it Michael Irving? There is a receiver that said, I never watched tape. I don't remember who exactly said it. But, I mean, you're talking about he would have to be a one in a million type of player to be able to go out there, never watch tape, be able to dominate NFL-level DBs, be able to dominate Jalen Johnson. You're doing half the work Jalen Johnson is, and you're able to dominate him? That seems a little far-fetched in my mind.
Yeah, I don't think it helps him, but I'd be surprised. Like, teams put the tape on, and you see Tet McMillan play, and he's a dog.
Yeah.
And I think there's a part of NFL coaches that are like, you can say that now. We're going to get you to watch tape.
Of course.
It's going to happen. I think
that is the case too, yes.
And if he was like, yeah, I don't – in the receiver meetings, I'm just like, I'm checked out and whatever. I'm going to go play ball. Like, he said he doesn't like watching football. That's fine. There are a ton of players who will tell you they don't watch other
games. I watch what we do. I don't watch everything else. Yeah, that's I've heard that.
I'm not saying it's a good thing that he doesn't watch film. I'm also not saying it's a bad thing. I don't think it has any impact on who he is as a player, really. Yeah. Like, yeah, if you're going up against one of the best corners in the league, you probably want to know how you're going to get defended. But as a receiver, my primary motivation for you is like, do you know the route tree? Do you know the play we're running? Are you capable of doing it? And then in receiver room meetings during the week, you can have those conversations. Hey, corner X wants to play inside. Are they going to do this move to Jamie at the line? Are they going to figure out whatever you got to do?
Yeah.
And just run your routes. But he's a great player.
Yeah.
Watching him at Arizona, he's fantastic.
I think the only thing that I would push back on is, are you thinking too much at the NFL level in that situation? Because you don't know. Because you don't know how he's going to play. You don't know where he's going to sit. You don't know. Yeah, like, I think even, listen, he's the best of the best. Even an average DB in the NFL, you put Terrell Smith on him, and he doesn't know what Terrell Smith's going to do. Terrell Smith can get the best of him. Terrell Smith is coming off of the bench behind Tyreek Stevenson. Like, I think it's just, it's a different level of game. Yeah. I do think NFL GMs will look at it and go, we've seen this play out, and it literally never works. I mean, the Kyler Murray one is kind of the one situation where maybe it works, and I get quarterback is very different. But even with that, it's still we're putting it in your contract. If you don't watch film, you don't get money.
Yeah, and they could do that. Yeah. But I just think there's a lower threshold, and I don't know, I could be totally wrong. This is probably a better question for Waddle.
Yeah.
I think there's a lower threshold for a receiver than there is a quarterback. Like Johnny Manziel is saying, I never watch tape. Well, you've had no chance. You're the guy that's touching the football on every single play, yeah. And your job is to call plays at the line of scrimmage with relative consistency. If you're not watching tape and you don't know what you're looking at, you're dead in the water. Yeah. You got no chance. But a receiver, I do feel like you could get away with it. And that's even Chad Ochocinco saying, if you want to be good, you could do it. If you want to be great, it's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen.
So the red flag here is maybe Tet doesn't want to be great. Maybe doesn't have tremendous work ethic.
Yeah.
That could burn him. But it's also, if you're a team looking for a wide receiver, this is a horrible wide receiver draft. So
yeah,
you kind of just want to take the best guy, right?
I'll ask this then off of that, right? Because you, in your mock this morning, there was this run on big guys. And if that happens, and we talked about this with Yurko on Friday, right? Can the Bears choose to gamble at 10? If that happens, right, you're probably talking about maybe Jendy being there. Maybe Tet McMillan is there. You're not going to have any of the tackles, I would assume, that you want. Mason Graham is probably not there in this situation.
Not mine this morning.
If that is the case, do the Bears take a chance on a Tet McMillan? Can the Bears afford to take a chance on him that high where, hey, listen, these are our options left, and he's a dog. He's 1,300 yards. How many touchdowns was he last year? He was 8 touchdowns last season. He's got 26 touchdowns in his entire college career. Like, that's another dog and maybe helps us in our receiver room a little bit.
Can't go back-to-back on receiver. You can't. And I think they're more interested in the speedy guys. Like Matthew Golden, I think, would interest them.
Yeah.
Isaiah Bond, maybe get him on day two, I think, interests them. Look, there's only been so many instances of teams going back-to-back at the receiver position. The Lions did it 3 straight times. I believe it was Charles Rogers, Roy Williams, and Mike Williams.
Yes.
And this is since 2000. And the Eagles did it when they took Jalen Reagor and then Devontae Smith.
Yes.
What do those two teams have in common? The first guy they took fucking sucked.
Yeah.
Charles Rogers was a horrific bust out. Jalen Reagor was a horrific bust out. And they fixed their error by taking another wide receiver. Now, the Lions case didn't work. The Eagles are pretty happy with Devontae Smith.
Yes.
So the point I'm making is you took Rome Odunze last year in the first round. He wasn't a bust out.
No.
He wasn't what everybody hoped he would be, I don't think. He was good. He wasn't a bust out. I don't think you double down when you have DJ Moore and you have Rome Odunze. Don't overinvest a receiver again. You don't need to do that.
Yeah.
We're pretty good right now. There's an actual hierarchy where I can kind of figure out the target share between DJ Moore and Rome and Olamide Zaccheaus, the Book of Zaccheaus.
Yeah.
I can figure out what the target share is. I don't need number 10 overall receiver coming in and upsetting that balance. I don't need it. If you're going to go weapon, look, I'm kind of just out on Ashton Jeanty. I told you there was a world I could get behind it. I can't. I've started watching the running backs. I was going to do this Wednesday on Cap'n Hood. I just don't think there's enough of a difference between Ashton Jeanty and Omarion Hampton and Caleb Johnson and Quinshon Judkins and Travion Henderson. It's a phenomenal running back draft.
If you don't get a running back, you weren't looking for one.
If they,
they're even the under I'm missing the first name, but Gideon out of is that NC State? Where's Gideon?
And then the Brashard Smith.
Gideon.
the Breshard Smith kid out of the blue from Texas, Smith from SMU. Like, there's options down the line here. You're okay at running back. We don't We don't need to flip out and take Ashton Gentry.
Yeah,
because I'm telling you, he ain't Barry Sanders. People keep talking about how great he was. Yeah, Barry Sanders would have been otherworldly if he had played in the Mountain West.
Yeah. Yeah. That is a fact. I will say this, though.
He wasn't great. Bring up the Oregon game, and people get mad at me for saying it because you go, you can't take away the explosives. But if you do take away the explosives, which I know is unfair, pretty much every carry was 2 to 3 yards. Penn State game, he got bottled up.
I would say, and the only pushback, and y'all know I'm not, I don't think the Bears should draft Ashton Gentry, but the only pushback I would give you is you saw the explosive plays, you saw the big plays, the flashes, the big runs when you knew they were stacking the box every play. Like, legitimately, he is the only running back I think had to deal with that, and he still got 2,000 yards. I don't know if I can go that the running back class is that close to me. I do think Omarion Hampton is a phenomenal running back. I think there's a bunch of guys that you can get that will be good running backs in the NFL. I do think if Ashton Gentry is behind a good offensive line to start his NFL career, he could be an absolute dog. And Lewis Riddick talked about it. What did Lewis Riddick tweet out? He's like, he could break the rookie. He could break the rushing record.
We'll see. He could. He absolutely could. My point is, if he's behind a good offensive line, he could be a dog. I think that's true of a lot of backs in this draft.
Yes.
If you get a good off, I think that's true of a lot of backs just in general.
Just in general, yeah.
If you get a good offensive line in front of somebody, you're going to have a decent year running the football. I also kind of just, as a college football fan, Ashton Gentry should not have been at Boise State. He was an optimal transfer portal candidate. He chose to stay at Boise.
Yeah.
He was a five-star athlete in a two-star conference.
Agreed.
You put him in the SEC or you put him in the Big Ten. Is he getting to 2,000 yards? I'm somebody who does not believe he is. I just don't think he is.
Where does he get, though? I think that's the thing, right? Is he still a 1,200-yard rusher?
He might be.
Is he still a 1,400-yard
rusher? I would yes, he is still that. But then if he is that in those conferences, then he's no different productive-wise than an Omarion Hampton.
Yeah, I got you. I hear the argument on it. I do think it's – I love how we got the Gentry from Tet McMillan. I do think it's interesting to see kind of where the Bears could go at 10 because of, right, like if you're, do you go BPA in that situation then? Because if all the big guys are gone, and I think there is going to be this run on big guys like you believe, if they're gone, trade back is not really a great option in this draft.
No.
There's no, because I know people just say trade back. You just trade back. It's top 10 pick. Trade back.
Hey, maybe
you gotta have another team to trade with.
But maybe the Steelers lose their minds a little bit and try to come up and grab Jackson Dart.
I mean, that's a hope. But if you're the Steelers, don't you feel like Jackson Dart slides to you? Like even at 21, I'm not gonna lie. Like as you go through the QB list, I look at the list of teams that's there, and I'm like, if I'm the Steelers, I know I'm leaving this draft with a quarterback because there's not a lot of teams that want it. Are the Colts just ready to be completely out on Anthony Richardson? They probably should be.
Yeah,
should have never been in.
Should be.
But I don't think that they're just gonna throw this kid to the wolves. You just spent a top 10 pick on him. Do you think that? I don't even think there's another team that's in there. Maybe Carolina. No, Carolina's not going quarterback.
But do the Steelers panic and think somebody jumps the line on them?
Could be. That would be where it's like Ryan Poles has to like stir up that conversation, kind of like what Lynch did do Ryan Pace to make it move up for Mitch. Oh, I'm going to take him. What? But the Bears don't even have that leverage now because you got Caleb Williams. So if I'm the Steelers, I'm not worried about moving up. I feel like I can get a quarterback no matter the situation here. And if you're the Colts, I don't think you're in. So I don't think the Bears are going to have this great list of teams that are begging them to send a top 10 pick. Unless you are in the situation where Ashton Gentry is there and you've got one of those teams that's already successful and is like, we want him.
I'm just still at a point. I'm more confident today that Mason Graham's going to be there than I was a week ago.
Ooh, and how's the prayer circle looking? Still good?
Yeah,
prayer circle going.
I was more confident a week ago than the week before that. There was a lull, and I'm getting back in on it. Like today, I had Cam Ward, Shedeur Sanders, first two players off the board.
I agree.
Giants take Travis Hunter, which whether or not it's smart, I don't really care. It's a Joe Shane move, and he's a quote unquote generational guy. Do what you got to do. Patriots, I'm pretty convinced they're going offensive tackle. Went out and got Stephon Diggs. Mike Vrabel's way of doing things. We want to run the football. We want to build up front. So Membu or Will Campbell come off the board there. Who's still on the board?
Abdul Carter.
Jacksonville can fix their error with Trayvon Walker and go ahead and get Abdul Carter. And that is where we get in play because the rest of the teams are total wild cards. Raiders could... they could take Mason Graham. I think it's way more likely that they take McMillan or a tackle or Genty.
Yeah.
Jets kind of feels like they want to pair Justin Fields with a weapon. Everything I've been reading lately, they like Justin Fields as QB1.
Yeah.
Hey, here's Tyler Warren or here's Ted McMillan. Panthers, I think, want an edge. Jalen Walker, come on down. Saints, I've been doing more reading on them. It's going to be a perimeter player based on everything I've read, whether it's a receiver or a corner, Will Johnson. Who's still on the board at 10? Mason Graham. I see a pathway for it.
I like the way you're thinking, dog. If we come out of this draft with – if we come out of this offseason with brand-new coaching staff of literally one of the best coaching staffs I've ever seen put together in Bears history – you basically rebuilt the offensive line and went out and got the best center on the market, somehow come out of it with Joe Tooney. And you go get Jonah Jackson, who's a Ben Johnson guy. You've got Darnell Wright already. And on the other side of that, not only did you add Grady Jarrett, but you find a way to get Mason Graham on his team.
If
this may be am I sipping a Kool-Aid? No.
Getting through the Jacksonville pick is going to be the tough part.
Yes.
But if he gets through that pick, I start picking up the phone because it's a gamble to wait for him to fall to you. If he gets past Jacksonville, I start seeing if anybody wants to take 10 and I'll give you 6 and I'll give you a third round pick and we'll get this done.
Is there a world for you? And I know the Bears have a ton of holes, but in your situation, Abdul Carter's falling much further than we thought he was going to fall. Is there a world for you where that's where you start picking up the phone when you see him? I have 3. Hold on. They go Travis Hunter. Okay. 4. Wait a minute now. I would think that's where I'm like, hey, we might be able to lock up the edge room. I've got Dio Dangbo in the middle. I've got Grady Jarrett in the middle. I've got Andrew Billings. Maybe he's here long term, maybe not. I've got Jervon Dexter. I get the generational edge.
My problem is twofold. One, if he's really falling that far, what are the medicals? Like, is the foot that big of a concern? Two, what motivation would any team have to trade him to me? Like, if Jacksonville's sitting there at 5 and Abdul Carter's available and Jacksonville says, we're taking Mason Graham, and then Abdul Carter's still there at 6, and the Raiders, you call them, and I would imagine they'd disconnect the phone.
Just throw the phone out the window. We're not drafting.
There's just a part of me that can't wrap my mind around it. Yeah. Like, to me, Abdul Carter is the best player in the draft, full stop.
100%. I agree.
And
quarterback is going to throw people's brains off of it.
Is the foot really enough of a concern that he's going to fall that much? And if it is, does it start to concern me? But also, why would I think anybody's giving me the pick to get him? If everybody's kind of in agreement, this is the best player in the draft, but he's not going to go 1 because teams need quarterbacks, but he's just this firmly the best player in the draft. If he's falling as far as you're saying he would, I don't think anybody's even picking up the phone.
That would be, it would cost you a lot. No matter what, it would cost you a lot to move up that high. But I do think that If both of them are on the board, I'm calling, right? Either way. Because the thing with Mason Graham is even if you get, you know, teams are going to go at a certain point best player available over need. Mason Graham is the second best defensive player in this draft.
Yep. I think he's the safest prospect in the entire draft.
Like,
there's inherent risk with Abdul Carter with the foot thing.
Yeah,
I think Mason Graham is a total no risk home run. And if I'm wrong on it, I'll be shocked.
You may have to move up no matter what, just to be safe there. And that's where I think it gets tough, because again, in this scenario, there's this run of big guys. I think you could be at 10 where your best options are, Tet McMillan, where your best options are. Maybe it is Ashton Jeanty there and you take him. I think you start to quickly start looking around and going, oh, well, a lot of the tackles that we like here, like a Kenneth Grant is a later round pick, or you know, whoever it is. Like Josh Smith, I think, is taking a risk. Or I'm sorry, Josh Smith, basketball player.
You're talking
Josh
about, Simmons, yeah.
Exactly. I think he's taking a risk. He looks great. He's got all the measurables.
Yep.
He had a fun five games.
Yep.
And legitimately, his best season ever was a fun five games. Can you take that chance if you're Ryan Poles at 10? I think you can be in a tough world at 10, where 10 goes from being this glorious pick to, like, I don't really love the options that we got there.
Boy, beating the Packers is going to kill me. I said it then, too. If beating the Packers is the difference between a Will Campbell or a Mason Graham, and you don't know what the hell you're doing with the 10th pick, so you just take Ashton Jeanty,
yeah,
I'm going to be unhappy that they did that. And that's my fear right now.
Next season's going to be interesting for sure.
If we were at 7, all doors would be open.
Yeah. Because you can move up a couple of picks. Doesn't cost you that much. Still cost you, but doesn't cost you that much.
If we were at 7, you could much more feasibly just talk me into Mason Graham will be available. Will Campbell will be available. Everybody you want will be there.
Yeah.
If 10, we are banking on a lot of things going right.
I will say, and I've always said this, there are times I think, because I still think the Bears get a good player at 10, right? No matter where, if you go Ashton Jeanty behind this offensive line is going to be good.
Yeah, it's not that you won't get a good player. It just might be the difference between getting a good player and getting the perfect player.
Yeah, the exact player you needed. I do think, though, and I've always said this, learning to win is the most important thing that football teams can do. The Packer game, to me, was the Bears finally learning to win a little bit.
I don't even want to relitigate it, because there's a part of it that, yeah, you got the monkey off your back and you don't have to hear about it anymore. I also wonder if that's just totally overblown because you have an entirely new coaching staff and apparently a new philosophy on building a football team where, frankly, quite a few guys who won that game aren't even going to be here. So why am I sweating it? The coach is gone.
Yeah.
The interim coach is gone. It's a full new staff. You're doing things differently from a management perspective. It's like, I guess there's a benefit that now when you play the Packers, you won't have to hear about how many consecutive times you've lost to this team. But is that a better benefit than
Abdul Carter? An
easier path to the best player available?
Yeah, that's always the tough conversation. Even this conversation I keep having with the Bulls this year. Is there something to seeing these young guys win, to seeing these young guys figure out, okay, this is how you beat teams, this is how you close games, to versus having a shot at Cooper Flagg?
I think it's more valuable there because we're finding out that a backcourt of Josh Giddey and
Kobe White
can kind of work to an extent, can win games at the NBA level.
Yeah.
I don't know that we learned anything long-term about beating the Packers other than, oh, it's not impossible.
Well, we learned that Caleb can do it. It's something Justin didn't do in 3 years. We learned that Caleb at least can do it. And hopefully it's consistent. Hopefully it stays. I think there's a lot that goes into just beating them. But I do think there's, like, the Bears lost, and maybe it is the coaching staff. I think the coaching staff played a huge part in it. The fact that we continued to lose in very similar ways in just amazing fashion, I think that's something where you got to get that monkey off your back at some point. Because you start to believe it. You start to go, okay, we got one score here. We can get a stop. We're probably not going to get this stop. We didn't get this stop. We're going to lose this game, aren't we? I think that's the part where you got to get that off your back.
It's hard for me because I don't even know how much I believe in week-to-week momentum, so I certainly don't believe in season-to-season momentum.
Season-to-season momentum, yeah, I get you on that. That is, J-Mac has said that too. He's like, I think he's like, there's no such thing. you go in from one season, you have a great season, and it tells you that you can do something, but you still got to do it.
Right.
Like, there is the momentum where you believe. I think, what was it, 05? They finished the season strong, and then 06, they go to the Super Bowl. Oh, no, 05, they went to playoffs, they lost to the Panthers. 04, they finished the season strong, and they beat Brett Favre. And then in 05, it was like, oh, we can kill this dude. It's okay to, like, just destroy him. And they did it that next season. They win the games. They go to the playoffs. Next year, they go to the Super Bowl. So there was that momentum. But his point was basically like, yeah, you can have it, but you still got to go do it. Like, that's right. Not the same Brett Favre last year that it was this year.
Well, and I think, like, if you lost to the Packers, do we believe that this team would have spent the offseason going, oh, we can't do it. We can't win games. And then they'd come out soft and timid. No, they'd be like, that shit ain't happening again.
Not with Ben Johnson. It's going to be fun. I love that smile at the camera. Let's finish it out with this, Shay. Shout out to you guys for tuning in, showing love. Hit that like button, subscribe to the page, leave a 5-star view. Y'all know what to do. The annual meetings have happened, or are happening, I should say. And seems like there's going to be some changes coming into the NFL here. Tush Push is dead, it feels like, right? It seems like it's getting the votes here. You win a Super Bowl with it. Now, all of a sudden, the NFL is like, well, we've got some safety concerns.
Yeah.
Are there things in your mind that the Bears need to watch for in this? Is there anything where any of the reports coming out, is there any of the rule changes that are coming that you think are going to affect the Bears coming this season?
Not any different than affect anyone else. It seems kind of quiet, to be honest. Mostly it's like the kickoff thing's going to stay in place, and they might ban the Tush Push, and that's about all I've gathered.
Yeah.
So no. And frankly, I think banning the Tush Push is fine. I know people are upset with it. I don't care one way or the other. I do think it's bullshit that, I think it's bullshit that the offense is allowed to execute a play where they can do things that would be penalties on any other player in any other circumstance. So if you want to keep the Tush Push, this has always been my standing. If you want to keep the Tush Push and you're saying that you're as a center on that specific play and as a running back or whoever's in the backfield behind the quarterback on that specific play, you are allowed to leverage your players to go forward. And it's not a penalty. I'm cool with it. Do the same thing on the defensive side of the ball. And let the linebackers come up, pinch the A-gap, get right on the backs of their tackles, and push the tackles forward.
Yeah.
And watch how fucking quickly it will get banned then, because it will be an injury fest.
Yes.
You will turn the line of scrimmage into even more of a war zone than it already is. So if you can't allow the defense to play the game fairly in the same way that the offense runs that play, then don't have the play.
Here's my problem with that, though, and where I think the NFL has to really take a look at itself, even though it seems like it's going to get banned, it's not going to matter. No one else is good at it.
That's not true. The Bills are good at it.
Okay.
Everybody focuses on the playoff play. They converted on 89% of their Tush Push attempts. The Bills and Eagles combined for 90% success on that play.
But okay, so two. So those are your two teams. One of them didn't make the NFL, didn't make the Super Bowl.
Sure.
Got beat anyway. The other one wins a Super Bowl with it. Most of the league can't do the play. The only reason I think banning it is weird is because it is a special play that really only a couple teams do well. It's not like this is destroying the league. It's not like the health concerns for the league are massive because we're losing players weekly to this play. Like, it's a play that only the Eagles and as you said, the Bills are able to run well. I'm not that worried about it. Also, don't let them get a 4th-and-1. Like, play better defense, essentially.
I know, but come on. If you generate a 4th down, it shouldn't matter how far they have to go on the 4th down. You shouldn't get an automatic 1-yard play. My thing, too, our team's not good at it or our team's not willing to run it because the Chiefs will not sneak Patrick Mahomes. It's an outright refusal.
Yeah.
If they're going to sneak, it's Travis Kelce. It's somebody else. They won't do it because he got hurt sneaking the football, and they will never sneak him again. It's bizarre.
But I think that's
the thing.
I think that's the conversation, all right? Like, you have to have a special quarterback to run that play.
100%. Yeah. You have to have a guy that you know is durable. Like, the Dolphins would never tush push Tua.
Ever.
You're begging him to get hurt. You have to have a quarterback who is...
Stick your head in there for us real quick.
You got to have a guy who's proven durable. You got to have a guy who's strong enough to do it. Yeah. It's Josh Allen and it's Jalen Hurts. And I get that banning it, you make it a competitive balance issue. I just think it's a totally unfair thing because maybe unfair is too strong. I just think it sucks that if any other player on the field did the same act as the guys in the backfield on the tush push, they would get flagged.
Yeah. I think I agree with that. I think that it is a competitive imbalance because the defense can't do it.
And that's what I'm saying. I don't have a problem if you want to keep it, but let the defense defend it. And they won't do it because then you will get nothing but injuries.
But I think that's my thing, though, right? Like, there are defenses outside of those two teams. There are defenses that are stopping the tush push as far as the league is concerned. I can't stop Josh Allen or I can't stop Jalen Hurts. That doesn't mean I can't stop the play. It means those guys are really freaking good and have really good offensive lines at running it. I think that's where it's like we look at them and we're like, this is what the league is doing. It's destroying it. And it's them. Like, that's like saying Josh Allen's really good at throwing the football down the field and hitting, you know, Keon Coleman in the hand. Every yeah. quarterback in the NFL ain't going to be that good at it. I think that's where it's like you're punishing them because they won with it, and we're acting like that play is what the league is doing.
I also think there's an aesthetic thing to it where the league wants to promote offense.
It's an ugly play. It's an old school football play.
And ultimately, if they ban it, if they don't ban it, I don't really care. I would like to see it legislated in a way that the defense can defend it appropriately. That's my whole point.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's really where I stand on
it. Yeah, it's not a big deal coming out of owners' meetings. Some things that may be interesting Bears-wise to keep an eye on, probably get some talks on the stadium. I don't know if you've been up near Arlington Heights at all. I was driving that direction the other day. Seems like there's some new construction going on out there that a lot of highways just exits shut down left and right, and all of a sudden they're expanding.
Terrific.
Feels like maybe Arlington Heights is the move, my guy.
Great. There is not a story in this town that I care less about. Honestly. And I'm not trying to be crass or like flipping about it. I get that it's important to people. They could build this thing on fucking Mars. If they win games, that's all I care about.
I agree with you. I literally was like, just put it in the middle of Lake Michigan, put a floating bridge out there, let's go play football.
Yeah, go play on a dinghy. The hand-wringing over where the stadium is going to be. I don't fucking care. Yeah. I just don't want it to be at a place that's totally inaccessible like Soldier Field is currently, or totally outdated like Soldier Field is currently.
Yeah.
Where it is, don't care. It's up to you. It. It's not like I'm going to make money off them building it.
No, I'm losing money. Taxes will definitely go up. I am in Cook County. I think that's pretty much out of the owner's meeting. I don't think there was really anything else. George is going to speak. Poles is going to speak again, I'm sure. But outside of that, I think that's about it. Hey, man, appreciate you coming on. As always, on a Monday, fun time. We're going to end it here. Y'all stay safe.
You tell me, man. It's up to you.
I got you. Appreciate y'all tuning in.
Are you asking or are you telling me?
No, I'm telling you. Appreciate y'all tuning in. Showing love as always, man. Hit that like button. Subscribe to the page. Lead a 5-star view. Y'all know what to do. As always, for Shay Norling, it's your boy Pat the Designer. Back at it again. Y'all stay safe out there, Chicago Bear. Down. One love. Peace.